Bulls Eye on the Afternoon with Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas on AM 930 WEOL.
Minutes after 5 o'clock, Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you for about another hour and 20 minutes. And then it's time for Indians baseball, Tribe and Twins tonight. 6:35 Indians warm-up, and at 7:10 they deliver the first pitch down at Progressive Field. We'll talk some Tribe a little bit later on, but it's time to welcome in our next guest. Friend of the show, we haven't had him on in a while, Greg Willie with the Friendship APL. Greg, how are you, my friend?
It's good to be back. And I actually love getting a little bit of time because that allows us to get a couple of new stories together for this place.
Well, yeah, and that's, see, every time we have you on, there's always a new story to tell. I mean, from wrestling alligators to rescuing horses and, of course, the world-famous snake charmer story with the pillowcases.
Yeah, that's always fun. The snakes are, it's weird because, the exotic animals are kind of what keeps you kind of like, we see, 3,000 dogs a year and 3,000 cats a year. So every time something exotic comes through the doors or you get a call about something happening, those are the ones that always kind of catch people's imagination, So including my own, we had a sugar glider in this weekend, and that's a little flying squirrel looking thing. It's actually, I guess, more like a flying possum because they're marsupials. They have the pouches. And that's really interesting, to see something you've just never quite seen before, maybe hasn't come through the doors that often. So, we get super excited about things like that.
A sugar glider is what it's called.
It's a sugar glider, yes. And you learn, it gives you that chance to kind of study up and learn something you may not have known otherwise. Like I said, marsupial, and it's something I just never would have known. It's like a kangaroo. But they're really, really tiny. We learn that, this sugar glider came in, and they have to be bonded to another animal. They're very social, so they don't like to be alone. People carry them around in little pouches, and they come with these little cages that you hook to your belt so they can go around with you at all times.
Wow.
But the best thing to do is have another sugar glider with them. So we reached out on social media, just reached out on Facebook and said, hey, we got a sugar glider here looking for a partner for this little guy. And, the next day we have someone come running down and say, I got a single sugar glider, and it's perfect, and that's kind of how you do this thing. But yeah, I had stray pigs running around in Grafton that you have to go and catch. We get these crazy calls that come in, just, hey, we got a pig wandering down the street, and those are the ones that are always kind of exciting. I went over and not sure exactly what I'm going to do. I got dog leashes and got an apple. And I'm seeing if I'm going to be able to get this pig. And I couldn't find the pig anywhere. And I'm knocking on doors in this little development and saying, hey, got a call from around here about a pig running loose. And they're like, well, you haven't seen any pig. Then off in the distance, there it is, pig. And I called it, and the pig comes just running up to me thank God, I'm so excited that someone's calling for me. I want to go home.
So how do you corral this thing?
It was about it was 140 pounds. The harder part is not corralling them per se. It actually ran right to me. I've dealt with potbelly pigs where you had to corral them. Potbelly pigs are an interesting thing, and a lot of these are end up being sad stories because potbelly pigs are actually pretty hard to take care of. And most people think they're going to get these what they call mini pigs, or teacup sized, but they don't really exist. To get that size, typically you have to starve them. To some degree, you have to control the diet. Well, most people aren't willing to do that. And all you have to do is look at today's dogs to know that doesn't happen, because you see a lot of very overweight dogs walking down the street. So we'll oftentimes end up in a trailer park or something along those lines, and they'll have a potbelly pig they need help with. And literally, they've let it grow so big, we can't even get it through the doors of the trailer to get it outside into our truck. It can be really, really, really challenging. And they're oftentimes not super, super friendly and nice, especially when they've gotten so big and large. And a lot of times that causes pain. So they're acting out and yelping and screaming and carrying on. And if they don't file their tusks down, they'll get the big giant boar tusks. And boy, you don't want to get hit with one of those, I'll tell you that much. But people keep weird and unusual things, man. I had to rescue a fox. Someone kept a pet fox with a collar on and everything, and they left it on their doorstep in Elyria when they got evicted from their apartment. They just left a fox with a collar. And, you know, you're not even allowed to really legally keep a fox as a pet. So I have to call, like, back to the wild and rush this fox out. And it's a fox. I don't even know how they got a collar on this thing. Like, I don't even know what they were thinking.
So how did they get this thing out of the apartment?
So they left it in a cage on their doorstep. Oh, so I never even took it out of the cage because, like, you went to take it out of the cage. I know what sound a fox makes. And it is a squeaky, chirpy thing. It sounds like a little chirpy, crazy bird is what it sounds like. That's what sound the fox makes. So if you've been asking yourself that question for a while.
I was looking for the sound effect button. I don't have one on here for a fox. I got to find one.
I think that was an old song. I think it was a song that was really popular. What sound does a fox make? Or what?
Oh, yes. Yes, there is. Okay.
So it is a chirpy, clucky sound that is usually something very, very upset.
I think Matt Douglas might know about that fox song. You have any idea what we're talking about over here with the fox song?
Yeah, I know
song?
Exactly what you're talking about. Who doesn't know the song?
What does the fox say? What does the fox say? That's right. I forgot all about that. See, that was hip like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah,
that was a big song
I'm
like 10 years ago.
We're all dating ourselves.
Hey, that's all right.
It wasn't that long ago, was it? It was like the early 2000s or late 2000s, somewhere in there.
Yes.
Wow.
That's 10 years ago.
All right.
To go back to the sugar glider. Like those, you don't see many of those up here. How did that thing make its way up here?
Oh, actually, they're very, very popular.
Oh, they are.
And trendy,
okay.
And chic. A lot of people own these crazy animals now. It's very popular to own chinchillas and these very small pocket pets, hedgehogs. So you're starting to see more of these things as they get more popular now, and people are jumping on them and bring them home because they're available, and you'll find them at a pet store. And the new thing I hear now is like corn snakes. Like everybody wants a corn snake.
What's a
corn snake?
It is a small snake with teeth that bites. And I don't, you know, I'll never understand. I've already gone over the snake issues in the past. I'll never understand the desire to own snakes. Because it used to be every time I go to a school and say, hey, you know, I'll tell a snake story, because it really gets kids kind of pumped to hear about the alligators and the snakes. I used to always say, what's the most popular snake for people to own? And everybody would say boa or, you know, ball python. And now I hear corn snake. So people just jump on these things. They just go through trends. Like everybody had to have a bearded lizard like 10 years ago. Everybody had to have these like iguanas were like 20 years ago. Everybody had to have an iguana. We all wanted an iguana. Those were like everything kind of goes through those phases and trends. And so right now it's just trending corn snake, and anything with teeth that's unpredictable. I'm not exactly 100% certain why we want to make these into two pets. They're not really meant to be pets. And it just boggles the mind sometimes, like what people decide that they're going to be fascinated with and bring home and take on as a challenge.
Well, that's and those things tend to live, not that, I mean, I wish dogs lived forever, but reptiles seem to have extremely long lives, don't they?
It depends on the reptile. Like, as you know, when you get into like the realm of turtles and stuff like that, yeah, these people are holding these turtles for like 30, 40 years.
Sure.
So, I mean, those have extraordinarily long, but nothing beats a bird.
Yeah. Really?
So a parrot can live like 80 years. Like, you buy a parrot, like a lot of people will make you put that parrot in your will because they know that bird will outlive you.
Wow.
I didn't realize that.
That's actually one of my favorite things to actually kind of talk about. So there was this show called Life After People, and that it was on History Channel.
Yeah, I remember that.
I really love that show. And there's this one creepy thing. Like, cats do really well without human intervention. Dogs don't do very well without human intervention. But it was a really kind of cool thing. They said, like, if you're walking through a city block in an abandoned apartment building, there's no one living there, you would still hear human voices for upwards of 100 years after humans have vacated things. You would hear these human voices in the hallways. And it's because parrots would continue to carry on human language for generations after we were gone. So they're also one of the smarter animals on the planet, too. If you got an 80-year life cycle, it does give you a lot more time to learn things and carry on and carry conversations and really get build that awareness up. I mean, the short lifespans of a lot of animals are what actually kind of holds them back from development.
Wow.
That's so oddly creepy.
It is really creepy.
A little bit.
Yeah. English language or whatever language would continue on after people are gone.
Yeah. So, like, I from what I understand, like, octopi or whatever it is. They're like one of the smartest animals on the planet. One of the smartest animals on the planet, but they have such a short lifespan that they really can't develop culturally and linguistically and all these different things. But they are extraordinarily smart, but they're held back by their short lifespan. So,
well, how about that?
Wow. See, the parrot thing is so fascinating to me. I mean, 80 years, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
70 to 80 years, yeah.
Wow. So instead of Polly want a cracker, Polly wants Social Security, right?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean. Absolutely. So that's why they can develop very, very complex speaking sounds and very complex languages. People that really invest in them, I mean, they're really incredible in their ability to parrot us and parrot what we say. But what they're actually finding is their ability to comprehend is extraordinarily high as well. So they're actually comprehending and putting things together that are really fascinating. So...
wow.
I love animal. All things animal. So it's really cool to kind of learn about them and study them. And like I said, we have them kind of come through our doors occasionally, which gives us that opportunity to kind of learn something new. So
I would imagine that if a parrot comes in, it doesn't take long for somebody to either A, find out it's missing, or B, for someone to come in and find it a new home.
Well, yeah, we occasionally get them in. It's more rare that we take birds in. And typically speaking, we're trying to move them on as quickly as possible.
Gotcha.
Typically, it's somebody that's been displaced, lost their home, or their mental health or health has declined so much that they can no longer care for them. And then we'll take them on. And we try to place them right away because a shelter environment is a really poor environment for a bird to exist in. So is it also for lizards and iguanas and snakes. Those require very climate-controlled environments, so we try to move them along as fast as possible because the stress can cause the birds to just molt. They'll lose all their feathers. It's not healthy to have all their predators, the things that would hunt them and eat them, all around them all the time, just cats staring at them, just saying, it's like Tweety Bird's worst nightmare. Uh-huh. So is coming to our shelter. It's like way too many Sylvesters. So.
Greg Willie with the Friendship APL joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And boy, there are a wide variety of different things I think we planned on talking about, but that was awesome. I mean, just like every time we have you in, there's always a wild adventure that comes up. And like that, we love having you on for that reason. But we also wanted to have you on to talk about the golf outing coming up this coming Monday.
Yep.
One of the greatest names for a golf outing I think I've ever heard. Animal Cruelty Tease Me Off. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah. This one is actually outdated me. We keep on trying to bring this back every couple of years. We do have a couple of foursomes left. I want to say we have one or two foursomes left available. It is next Monday. If you're interested and you have the availability, it is a great time. There's a lot of great food. It's at Red Tail Country Club. You can run right over to our website, www.friendshipapl.org, and look at our events page, and you'll see links that would take you right to that to kind of find all the information out that you would need for this outing. So it's a lot of fun. Shotgun start. Big scramble. If you only have two people, we do have a couple of spots available. If you only have like one or two people that can go, we do have a couple other people that are looking for a fourth companion if you guys are comfortable doing that. So anybody that's interested, come on out. It's a great time.
Animal Cruelty Tease Me Off. I love that name, man. Love that name.
It helps us support things. And I try when I come on here not to really dwell on the... like I said, I always feel like Sarah McLachlan cornered the sad market. You know, like the ASPCA's got that kind of covered, you know? So, you know, I don't want to go into... typically the gruesome details of kind of like what we do on a regular basis. It's not kind of my idea to always just drag people down. You know, but the animal cruelty side of what we do is really, really important. My humane team rescued three dogs this week from a guy. One of the dogs had supposedly gotten hit by a car, and the guy never got a treatment. Just sat in the house, broken leg. Now that dog's in a hospital getting an amputation after the dog was seized out of the home because the dog was in such bad shape. So these are things that we do, and my humane officers are always out there doing on a regular basis, and so we always need that support. And this event helps support that work that they do.
Very cool stuff. And, I mean, it really is interesting to hear that side of it because I think a lot of times when you go to – any kind of animal protection league, you go to a shelter, whatever the case may be, you know, you see the cute puppies barking in your face, right? That's the first thing you see when you walk in. You don't see the story behind that, which a lot of times, for all the unfortunate reasons, those stories don't always get told, but they need to be put out there.
Yeah, but actually, at the same time, I don't want it to be one of those things where people that walk through our shelter doors think that they're going to immediately break down in tears and cry and see animals shaking in a corner and be sad. Those are really good to create donations and bring in those types of things. But actually, one of the things that we really rely on are volunteers and adoptions. And so what we, you know, and you hear a lot of people in animal welfare that just don't like people. I mean, I can't hear how many times I hear the phrase, I hate people, or, you know, in this line of work. And these animals depend on people. And the more we can make people realize that this is not only it does have its sad moments, but it also has its really joyful moments. It's a funny moments and exciting moments, and we have all sorts of happy tales, and it's a happy place, and we really want it to be this kind of community outreach place where people feel comfortable coming in and that they're not going to immediately break down in tears the moment they walk through the doors. And if all you're hearing is "In the Arms of the Angels" as you're walking through our doors, if that's what's playing in your mind, then you're going to just shut down. You know, you don't want to come there. You're just, and I hear that too much. I don't want to go there because it would be a sad place. And we try to create a really bright, vibrant place that's happy and welcoming. And like I said, there's always something goofy going on there. So you like stopping in, volunteer, and you get used to it. There's not a day that doesn't go by that you don't see something crazy. An animal that just never thought you'd see before in a shelter. You're like, I didn't even know you guys took care of those things. I mean, one day we had one of our rooms was entirely converted into taking care of chickens, turkeys, and ducks. We had 130 chickens, turkeys, and ducks. And so you walk in and all of a sudden you're like surrounded by it. And yeah, the backstory to that is really, really sad. But at the same time, you get to see like ducks, chickens, and turkeys everywhere you look. And it's crazy and it's interesting and it's different. And that's the cool thing about working with animals, you know. I mean, they basically say, plan all you want. We are here to destroy those plans. that's an animal's job. It's like, don't plan too far ahead. Don't think too much. Get over yourself a little bit and just enjoy life and have fun at the same time as much as you can. So that's what animals live for.
Well, and I know you guys do have a volunteer orientation session. You have actually a series of sessions set up coming up here in the next few weeks. What exactly are you looking for with a volunteer?
Families are really, really good right now. So if you got a family, if you got children 10 years and above, you got to be 10 and older to actually come in and volunteer. And you have to be accompanied by a parent until you're 16. But this is a really great family experience if you got some summer free time. By the way, we are not looking for people to volunteer 40 hours a week. You can do 4 hours every 2 weeks. You are totally cool to come down there. We don't make you commit to anything. You come in as you feel comfortable coming in, and it works out really well for us. We end up with like about 20,000 hours of volunteer service every year just by people just randomly coming in. And the orientation's at 10 a.m. this Saturday. It's at the shelter. You come down. It's like a two-hour session. It's pretty informative. We try to make it as kind of fast and fun as possible. We're at the same time trying to give as much pertinent information as you need. But it's exciting, and you will, after that, you kind of sign up for the different things that you want to do, whether it be like helping us clean litter boxes and scrub down cages. I know everybody out there is going, ooh, I can't wait to do that. But we do have dog walking, and we have cat socialization. We have these big open rooms where people can sit and just kind of relax and chill. If you have kids that have to do summer reading, we have these rooms where you can sit and there's benches with the cats, and they can just sit in there and read and let the cats kind of curl up with them. It's a really good time. And so it's just, there's a lot of different, we have foster opportunities too. We're in the heart of kitten season. So we have kittens coming in left and right all over the place. So if you've got a space in your home, in your heart, you know, come down and learn how you can take some kittens home, spend some time with them, love on them, help them grow up. And as soon as they're ready to get a home, we take them back, spay and neuter them. And we cover all the cost. We give you the cage, the litter, the food. We'd cover all the vet care. So there's nothing, no cost to you, but a little bit of space and a little bit of your time. And it helps to save hundreds of lives.
Very, very cool stuff. And I think it's interesting, too. You mentioned that, you know, for the kids right now, a lot of them, if they're not going to summer camps, that's a wonderful idea. I mean, you bring the kids out there, they have a great time in the summer. And it's a socialization event, not only for, you know, the animals, but for the kids as well.
Oh, absolutely. They learn tons. And like I said, this is a place that's super exciting. If they were here this weekend, they saw a sugar glider probably for the first time. We have bunny rabbits and guinea pigs, and we have all these other little animals and tons of kittens everywhere, calling all over them. They just have a great time. It is really a lot of fun. But we do require the parents to be there. I want to make that clear. You can't just drop the kids off all the way down. Because unfortunately we do have other areas that are more unpredictable and animals that are more unpredictable. We try to isolate them from those things that we feel are dangerous. And we've done a really good job on that, knock on wood, so far in the 10 years that I've been there. So.
And you guys are also looking for some dry food as well, right? And I saw on your Facebook page, you guys are still looking for dog food. You guys are still looking for dry food, correct?
So, yeah, we need some dry dog food right now. Unfortunately, the dogs we have right now are really, really large. We need some good 50-pound bags of dry dog food. It doesn't have to be any great shakes. We love just like Purina products or Pedigree, those types of things. You just pick them up, bring them down, drop them off. Cat litter, we always need cat litter. We are, you know, everybody's like, I don't want to give the donation that the animals are going to poop on. <You know? laughs> But it is so important. We need cat litter all the time. And guess what? Cat litter never spoils, so you can never give enough of it because it doesn't go bad. Like, we can get to the point where we get too much food, and so I'm always sometimes cautious about how much we ask for food because if we get too much, then we can see some of that spoil, and we don't like to see that happen. We do work with pet pantries and some of the local different groups to give out pet food to people that are struggling or having a hard time. But at the same time, the idea is to get what we actually need for the animals at the shelter. And like I said, you can never go wrong with cat litter.
Fair enough. But keep that in mind. If you can, you know, donate cat litter, it's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, it can be cheap as possible. Yeah. Do not go out and get a $20 gallon thing of cat litter. Just get the $4 thing at Rural King. You know, just run over there, and they got cheap bags of big, giant bags of non-scoopable cat litter. That's all we need. Just, like, yeah, don't spend tons of money on it.
I could be wrong, but don't people use that on ice in the winter, too? So, I mean, if you did have exuberant amounts, you could de-ice some things here and there.
We do that.
All right.
We actually
do
that. Yeah, I actually keep a bag of cat litter in the back of our van because when we go out and do our rescues, you can just throw it down right on the driveways.
So what we've learned here today is if people go extinct, the language will still be around well after, and you can never have too much cat litter, right?
That's what I've taken from this.
Right. We've come full circle on this whole discussion. It's great stuff. Greg, always awesome, man. Thank you so much for coming in studio.
I love being here, man.
Where's that music coming from?
It's coming from right here. You got to know what this is, right?
Yeah, this is what does the fox say?
Right? Yeah, what does the fox say? I thought I pressed the wrong button.
No.
I'm looking like scrambling.
I got you. Here it comes. Ducks say quack, and fish go
blub, and the seal goes. What does the fox say?
It's coming.
What's he going to say? There's one
sound that no one knows. I could have timed this a little better, I guess. Here it is.
What does the fox say?
There it is. That's hopefully this doesn't haunt you.
Yeah, it does.
We also learned what the fox really says from Greg.
Yeah. Like, there's cultural moments in my life that are always rough.
Sure.
Well, this was one. And who let the dogs out? Those are really rough.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I had to hear that Baja Men song.
Yeah,
so,
sure. I'll find that for you next time.
Yeah. People wanted to play it when I came in for our wedding song and like everything, like me and my wife. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, if I have to hear that song one more time, I'm going to lose my mind.
It's a song you're probably never getting rid of, my friend.
I know. It's going to stick with me for a long, 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 long time.
Greg, thanks
again,
man.
Who let the dogs out? I did. I let them out every morning.
This is awesome, man. Right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.